With my eyes closed from now on.
So what
Ray Charles had it easy. Sorry.
Right? he wasn't actually blind. That was just his shtick.
He just didn't want to engage with the crowd.
Right.
There we go. And we got the thing we're going to put at the beginning of the episode. Welcome to 561 Music. My name's Ben.
And I'm Hector.
And how are you doing, Hector?
Exhausted.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty tired.
So, you had that super hectic weekend, didn't you?
Did, man. We had a show on Thursday night, and then a show on Friday night, and then a show on Saturday night, and then I was setting up for street painting Friday all day, and then street painting Saturday all day, and then street painting Sunday all day. So, yeah, I was ready to die by Monday.
Yeah, I believe it.
I think we had calculated, my friends were, you know, like every day it was like a joke, like, you know, how many hours of sleep did you get last night? And I think we calculated that come Sunday night when I went to bed, I had had collectively about 9 hours of sleep from Wednesday.
Yeah.
So I was dead.
That sounds about right, man. And you were in good form, though. Like when you were playing the shows, you were in a good mood. You know, like I could tell you were just kind of on a mission or a warpath.
Yeah.
You were like, I will get to the end of the weekend.
I will get to the end of the weekend and sleep will happen Monday.
Yeah, exactly.
It was fine.
But you were being so chill, though. We had some good gigs, actually.
I did. We had some fun, man.
And it's so nice to see all your friends, too.
Yeah.
They're so chill.
Well, that's the thing. You know, I tell Kelly all the time, you know, like I have a ton of friends. Almost none of them live here. They're all, you know, all my art friends from all the festivals
that
I used to when I used to go around, right? And I have way more friends than you. But I have a handful of friends locally, but that's it. Like most of my friends live all over the country, actually all over the world for that matter, you know, just all my art friends. And so it's nice to, I don't do the festivals as much as I used to because of Killbillies. I used to travel a lot doing the festivals.
Sure.
I don't do it that often anymore because we're so busy. So, you know, the handful of two or three times that I do a festival a year now, it's nice to like see all my friends and stuff and hang out. So,
yeah. Absolutely. And I know them, a few of them, like a little bit now, and they're so good spirited and they're artists. Yeah. So, you know, they appreciate art forms. And so they come out to watch the music. They're always in a good mood because they're away from home and they're ready for a party.
Yeah. And I brought James out there with me and stuff. And he was like,
so jealous.
I know you should be jealous because it was fun.
Yeah,
James
was
out there, man. He was cracking me up the whole weekend.
He's a good lad.
Yeah, he was fun, man.
So but I have one of my best buds from England, Ollie, saying, and I would have been out there with you, but I was doing some entertaining. We had a good time too ourselves, but I do love that chalk painting, man.
Oh, dude, it was fun.
Yeah, it's always an absolute blast. And you guys did a great job. You did like three pieces, right?
Yeah. Well, I did like a small postcard piece thing, and then that was the Friday thing, and then we sketched out Friday night before we went to the gig. We sketched out the big wall piece that I did with the chalks and stuff, the 3D chalks, and then with the logo and everything. And then we came back super early on Saturday morning and we painted that piece. And then about midday, like noon, we went over to our regular spot. And then that's when we started the big 3D piece on the ground.
Yeah. Sick.
Yeah. It was crazy, man. It was a busy ass weekend.
And this weekend I debuted the guitar that I got off Mick.
You
which
did.
Which is this. And the fun thing about it is, it says Impeach Bush on it, which is not only really awesome and funny, but like vintage politics.
Right. Vintage politics.
It's like classic vintage politics. But yeah, so this is...
I love that you kept that on there too.
I know. I can't take it off. And it's, you know, it's roughly in my political wheelhouse. So I'm
right.
Good. Yeah, so this is an old Martin that Mick had, and he'd just beaten it to all hell. I mean, not in a bad, but just used it a lot. And but he had ended up cracking the headstock. And so I took it to Mike Paparo, who I'd never had Mike do anything with my guitars or anything before. But so this is the first time really meeting him properly. But we'd crossed paths a little bit before then.
Yeah.
But the guy is so good, and he's such a nice guy.
He's such a good guy. He's a really nice guy.
So yeah. I'm gonna be looking for reasons to take my guitars
to him.
I think this has a chip.
I actually got to get some stuff done to that Rickenbacker, man. So I think I need to get it over there sooner rather than later so I can bring it up to that New York show. So
yeah, totally. Yeah. I think that he doesn't work on banjos, so James is gonna be missing out on that one. He's a bit gutted about it.
James has plenty of basses. He can have he can take a bass over there.
Yeah, there you go. But he's a legend. And if anyone needs guitar working on, you go to Paparo Music because he is a boss.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, this thing plays like a dream now.
Oh, sounds amazing.
And the thing is, if I was gonna get a a $2,000-$3,000 Martin, it would obviously be cool, but it would last 5 seconds, you know? This thing has done all of the warping it's ever going to do, you know right. what I mean? So at this point, it's just staying put, which is great because, you know, we play so much, there's no point in me having some kind of beautiful museum piece, you know?
Yeah, no, I love it, man. It sounded great. Great this weekend, yeah.
Yeah, dude. So we have Hunter Hutchings and guest of honor at Franco Jaramillo. How's it going, guys?
Yeah, it's going.
Going great,
thanks for
man.
Having us here, man.
Glad to be back.
Yeah, so for the uninitiated...
Ooh.
For the uninitiated, Franco is one of the owners of Propaganda.
Yes.
And could you tell us a little bit about when you took that place over?
How yeah, sure. So this April 30th, we'll be going on our 2-year anniversary as the nice. New owners of Propaganda, which will make it its 15th year in existence. So hitting a milestone there. Last owners, everybody knows, Manny Two Belts and John Jay, you know, owners, operators for about 10 years. And, you know, we're making it work and doing them proud. Best we can.
Hell yeah. I remember before Matt, it was Cecil.
There's Bobby Love. Yeah. Yeah, there's Bobby Love and Cecil. And then, you know, if I get the names correctly, the original people that opened up was, I believe, Workins, Roman, who was doing a lot of the bookings, and I, for my memory lapse, the artist that created the name and originally had all of the Propaganda posters with Stalin and like Lenin saying drink and whatever.
Yeah.
I know his first name was Christian. That's all I remember.
Oh, cool.
Isn't well, Cecil a teacher or something?
Cecil is a teacher.
He was one of Gavin's teachers.
Well, Roman was the booking for them.
Yeah, I remember working with Steve there way back in the day.
Yeah.
Do you Roman remember Sutton. Cecil's band that you had back in the day? They were called something like Black. They were like one of those swamp punk bands. I remembered the name like a couple of episodes ago. That's really Black Weather Shaman. Remember
that? No, that was a little bit before me.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah,
into that scene.
Yeah. That was when I just moved down here, and I met Cecil, and I was playing. So I was playing in Propaganda before Matt. And then Matt took over, and then I had the good fortune to end up playing in a band with Matt. So the door was swinging wide open.
Yeah, always that. Got the good slots.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, it's not like it didn't go unnoticed. There was definitely mutterings behind our back.
I noticed, and you all got the prime slots. Damn, they must know a guy.
But I know that place inside and out. You know, spent many years there, and I have to say, it is in very good hands.
It is.
Yeah, thanks. I mean, it's a passion project for us and a labor of love, and just again carrying on tradition it's been great. I mean, it's like very rewarding to see it evolve for the best that we can. You know, visualize what it's how it's going to grow up or whatever. I think that like the reception from the loyalist and the people who really appreciate it, you know, they support us. So I think that's important. And obviously the goal is just really to capture a new audience and expand our reach within the world of music.
Sure. You know, it's with good reason that, you know, a lot of us will call it the Palm Beach County CBGBs.
Yeah.
You know? It's what it is. It's what we've got for punk and you know, interesting sort of smaller crowd music and local bands, but then also awesome touring bands. It's our version of that, and I think we all hold it you know very dearly in our hearts because there's really not that many places around here.
That's true. I think, you know, COVID did a good job of wiping out a lot of the venues that, you know, pre-existed, and, you know,
it tried to get prop.
It did. They worked there and powered on. So. Props a prop.
Totally.
Yeah, but that was the thing too, is like once it was changing ownership and things too, you're like, oh God, who's the new guy coming in? Like what's going to happen to the place that was always called our home away from home?
You know, it felt a little weird for me because when it first happened, because it was like, well, firstly, one of my best friends is like moving across the country.
And bandmate.
And, you know, and then this place of, I'm so used to sort of walking into it and he owns it.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, how's it going to go? But yeah, I mean, you know, it looks so great and everyone is just
turned out awesome.
As far, you know,
I can't say enough things about Franco, but it was a good turn of the passing of the torch. Like first thing I came in there, like judging him, like, who's this new guy? Well, we became best friends within 5 minutes.
He's
the coolest guy in the world.
I think that was the best part of it, is just that no one knew who we were, and just coming in, a lot of the mutterings was like, oh my God, hug.
And
hope
the friends made an easy transition.
You know, too much. And then a lot of those people who are muttering are like, okay, these people are actually nice. And Matt did a good job like choosing the
I walk in there on the off nights and all the regulars are still there hanging out with Franco now. And I'm just like, oh boy, you found yourself a new home, didn't you, buddy?
Well, things like that, I really trust Matt. And, you know, because he had said to me, he's like, don't worry, but it's in good hands, you know. And so I wasn't really that worried about it, because certain things like that, the things he cares about with like business stuff, Matt is on point, you know. Like,
Wouldn't turn it over to the wrong one.
So. No. Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, there was, you know, several names in the hat, and then we came and just kind of just like
talked
about it. Yeah, so oddly enough, like most things, due to a drunken conversation, we're back from New York. You know, we were in New York for about 16 years. Both myself and my wife Natalie lived in Palm Beach. I was in, we both were in Boca, and you know, used to back in like 2002 frequent all of the spots then, and that's where I met Matt, and became really close friends with him immediately. Just like really great guy.
Oh, sick.
Showed me the ropes, and then 2005 moved on and came back, and just things kind of just naturally progressed. Came back, started visiting Prop Again, seeing Matt, and like kind of picking up where we left off.
Nice.
And I think just kind of heard through just like the whispers, like, oh, Prop's going to close down. I was like, wait, what? Like, I just got back. Like, I want to enjoy some of this now, you know? And then, just like, that turned into, you know, hey, Matt, I heard that like this might shut down. And I was like, yeah.
And then
it was just kind of like, all right, so what do we have to do to, make that not happen? He said, well, you can buy it. And then that just turned into a few drinks later and like, we're in.
Yeah.
And here we are.
That's awesome. Have you done much of this kind of thing before?
Absolutely not. So this would be our first business, but living in New York, you know, we had friends that owned bars in Brooklyn and just always kind of were supporters of the local establishments there, and frequented what would be considered our neighborhood locals, which were owned by friends. And so I think a lot of it was always on the other side of the bar as patrons. And then COVID, I think a lot of us getting involved because of downsize of employers was like, we, you know, are able to sell now, but we can't provide for our employees, can you guys help? So we kind of just jumped into that and helped we could. So
during COVID, you found yourself on the other side of the bar just out of necessity.
Pretty much, and it was just like, all right, work to help this bar stay open and drink for free, cool, and then gain some experience about being on the other side of the bar. So that kind of just travels with us here.
Yeah, and the fact that like, you know, that was the kind of thing you were willing to do for other people and to help their businesses like that speaks a lot to the way that you view this place as well, which is it's a community.
Absolutely. And I think that's the most purest like statement of Prop, is that it's communal. It's just like this community of musicians and music fans that just love the band so much, and they're going to do everything they can to champion them. And I think that's like what is the ethos of Prop. It's what makes it so great. It's that it's a big community. And
I've heard a night off, I'd rather go there to watch like a band do some originals and stuff like that.
I've heard from other musicians and stuff. You know, when Matt owned the place, I've heard from musicians, you know, that Matt, you know, Matt and John own Prop, but it kind of belonged to all of us as musicians. Yeah. And it's probably in the same, you know, kind of the same thing for you guys. You guys own Prop, but it kind of belongs to all of us.
That's right. Know? Yeah. And I think that's what Ben was talking about earlier, is that's kind of like the Palm Beach CBGBs, you know,
because it
does have that spirit, you know, of just musicians first and
just a
community. So it's just a fantastic thing.
And I really
thing.
Felt it. I mean, I feel it every time I come there and there's a good show on, but I really felt it at Christmas because we had Billy Doom playing, but then we were also playing with and Matt came back, and it was just like, it felt like all of the older sort of crew of homies and all the new homies, everyone was there.
Homecoming,
it was great. A big roster would spread. Young Cassidy, Billy, we had you guys, it was a magical night. Like, it was great. Yeah.
Totally. And Suicide Bombers were playing, and that was the night that my eyes were open to how awesome they are.
Yeah. Sean's fantastic. I love watching him play.
Yeah. That's the one thing about that spot, too, is you can always walk in there and find somebody you've never heard.
Yeah.
That's what I love about them.
Yeah. That's definitely the biggest treat of taking it over. It's just like having front row seats now. Like, all the bands that want to play there approach us and, like, hey, we'd love to play your venue. And then just sussing them out and just seeing if it's a fit and putting a show around it. I think that's like the fun part, and then it happens, and there's just energy and love, and it's
and you guys
great
all levels too. Like, I've walked into Prop on a Sunday and seen you guys there doing, you know, first timers. It's the first time they've ever been on a stage, first time they've gotten the experience to play into a crowd. But then you can also walk in there on a weekend night and you see people that have been playing the stage for 20 years or a national that's on it for their first time with a packed crowd. And it's just like, you never know what you're going to get, but it's where you can start and it's where you can finish, you know?
Yeah. And or pass through. And that's something I'm also interested in not like asking you about is, as someone who hadn't really done it before, what's the process been like of learning how to book for the place?
Well, I mean, it was very novice at first. I was like, all right, like, how do we get bands to play here? And obviously we're handed the keys to just the general communications, whether it was social through Instagram, Facebook, or it was just an email.
There being like, Franco, you gotta book them.
Or it was Hunter. Yeah. It just so everyone knows, Hunter's the unofficial advisor to me. So anything that he sees
he's just like,
hey man, we need to talk. Let me tell you some stuff. And then that's how we work. Yeah. But it was really that there was these three, you know, hidden doors, just people just continually banging on. And then, you know, we came in and, you know, during the, pre-handoff, I think that it was just a lot for a small team to do, particularly Matt. It's only one guy. And it's like, how do you keep up with all of this demand of, I want to play there? So, you know, it wasn't easy for us either. Just between myself and Natalie, it was just like going back about like 4 years of just communications of like people like, hey man, how do we play there? And then just reaching out and it's like, are you guys so active? Like,
they didn't leave you with a Rolodex or anything or a little black book.
That would have made things too easy, right? And then we would we'd have all the same bands.
Rolodex, but man.
That was part of it.
Old school.
It was just like digging in and just going through a lot of communications and just reaching out and it being this two-way avenue of communication. Like, they want to play here. We want to see what they have and make sure that it's like prop ready.
Yeah.
Because there's just.
Could you tell me a little bit? Could you speak a little bit to what you require when it comes to what does prop ready mean? Because there's a lot of people who listen to this and find that interesting.
Yeah.
The bathrooms.
Yeah. We did the bathrooms.
That was huge.
I think prop ready, I mean, is honestly, it's just like that confidence, like coming to the stage, having a tight set and it, you know, just being like stage ready, right? I think, I think there's one thing.
And how do you discern that?
A rehearsal room and like practicing and having fun and drinking beers and you think you're the greatest thing on earth.
Sure.
And then having someone be subjective and like, hey, can you listen to our music and here are some links and we listen to it. And I don't want to be like a harsh critic, but at the same time,
you gotta have some discernment.
Yeah, we have to like have, we just have to have a standard of like that people. Yeah.
And how do you, when you see this stuff, this, what is it exactly that, like, so you're looking for like a tight band and stage presence. So is it, you're looking at live footage and you just kind of have to try and figure out from that, like what the energy is, basically?
That's kind of it. I mean, some of it might be Spotify links or Bandcamp or videos. And like, I think honestly, you hear it. Like, as a musician, you guys, you know, when you hear something, and me, a person who has been listening to music since I was like 3 or 4, you know, just growing up listening to multiple genres of music, you just have like this checklist. And like, when you hear something, you're like, holy shit, that's like, that's it. That's something. And like, you just like, rally on it and you're like, this is awesome, how do I get this? So
is it hard?
It's that excitement. It's just like a music listener of like when you're just feeling something for the first time, you're like, I need more of that. So,
would you say that it's important that the stuff that comes through looks professional, or is it more just that it looks exciting?
No, I mean, that's tough, right? Because again, it's like super subjective and it's really about like the sound projection. And if it sounds amazing, I don't give a shit what you look like. Like,
right,
but there are, you know, particular acts that really put together. They have the look, they have the stage moves, and I think that's definitely entertaining and holds value. If it is something that you're trying to like evolve. And sure. I think that's like every probably musician that, I mean, I've grown up watching and just sure. like that stage presence and energy and just kind of choreography of like their yeah. movements is like mean something, right? It's like, yeah. it's kind of like subliminal, but when you see it, it like pulls you in. And,
yeah.
you know, it's this different than somebody or, you know, sounding amazing, but everyone's just kind of just standing and just like sure, doing this yeah. thing, right? It's like, yeah. all right, we're a bar and we're a venue and like that maybe could just be bar music that sounds rad as fuck, but it's different than like you're sipping your pint and you're drinking, you're listening, and then you see something and you're like, oh shit, and yeah. it pulls you in and you're like, all right,
yeah.
I'm gonna get out of my chair and now go stand in front of the stage and watch this
because 100%
something's happening.
And it's something that drives me nuts in Killbillies because we're chained to our drums, we can't move. Yeah. But, so we're slowly trying to persuade Hector to do more.
They're trying to convince me to put a wheel on the peg in the rat and run around just the room with my bass.
Yeah.
Put a wireless on it and run around with the bass. Yeah. I'm not opposed to it, and I think yeah. it's on the table.
We had the idea when we were watching Zito, and he walked around the room like doing that prayer thing last week at Prop. We were like, Hector could do it with a wheel on his bass.
Well, that's what yeah. Everyman used to do, the stand-up bass, where they do the limbo underneath yeah. the stand-up yeah. bass for Everyman. Yeah, yeah. And yeah. they used to whack each other.
I mean, and so it's interesting. It's interesting that you bring that, you know, into focus, because I mean, what the Killbillies do is it's great in itself, right? It's like it's style. And if this band was playing, I don't know, like in the 30s, it'd be exactly what you're doing. Just three guys sitting there just like
yeah,
in
yeah.
a tight room, right? Sure. Just like there's no room to move, so you're just like doing your thing. So
yeah
I mean, it works.
So yeah, we're trying okay. to figure out yeah. like we're playing Sunfest on May 4th, and I'm sitting there in my head, I'm like, well, these guys are tethered to drums, and this is a huge stage. It's the big Forge stage, right? It's a huge stage. I'm like, I got to figure out something to do to like move around and like
we need to get a bunch of those things.
Yeah, the little wavy guys.
Yeah.
That would be amazing.
I know. So it's, you know, to a certain extent with that thing, because it just is a nature of what we do, we just kind of have to own it. But, you know, and just be like, well, this is what we do, and not be nervous about it. But, you know, we could definitely...
Set the bass on fire.
Hector's been working on some moves. He's been twirling his bass and stuff.
I've
he's
seen it.
Nice.
Moves.
Nice.
Rising up to space.
It's in a video. Yeah. I've seen it.
Yeah, exactly. So the reason I asked about, like, what do you look for in a band is because, well, I know what I would look for. But then when I think of, like, you know, what you typically receive, well, when you think of what I would give as a musician, you know, so I'd send the Spotify links and I'd send all that, and then I'd send some kind of live video. But I suppose what you really want from the live video is to show that the crowd care about what you're doing. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like some kind of energy.
And that's definitely like a part of the salesmanship aspect, right? But not everyone has that advantage of playing to a full room. Sure, they could still be amazing, right?
Yeah. Well, it's nice that you look at the live performance side of it and what they're, you actually listen to the music and take time versus most venue owners would take a look at the followers, their engagements
and stuff.
You know, people book off numbers versus it's really cool that you give people a chance that might not have the numbers, but you know they're going to bring it their all. So you know, people are going to be like, even if they didn't know you, gonna be like, damn, yeah, I'm never gonna forget that, you know?
Like, not to say that we don't pay attention to those details,
sure.
But again, I really just think that it's just deserving where you see the heart behind the music and you see the drive, and you're just like, all right, these people deserve a shot. And I think that's again kind of like why I want to believe Prop stands for. It's like giving people a shot and like giving them their turn, you know? So, we'll take a chance on it. I mean, it hasn't always worked out, but I think, you know, it's true. It hasn't always worked out, but, you know, a lot of it is you just learn as you go along. You can't book, you know, four unknown bands from Miami, you know, one night because Miami doesn't like to come up north. So it's like a bus for them. You want them to have an audience. So I think just the learning part is like, all right, well, how do we couple one of these bands and create some cohesion with local and like make
that's
that work and
cross
pollinate like these communities and just getting them, you know, to build that network, extend their own networks
and stuff like that.
Talking of that side of things, that Noel is very good at that, is about figuring out how to get a bunch of people in a room, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
shows are great, but like he brought things from all different sides of music too. Like
yeah.
had you guys opening up for a hip hop dude, then
yeah,
but it worked out.
Yeah,
you know? It's really cool to mix it and see how everybody's going to blend together. And
we listened to it and we were like, "Really? Oh, that's what we're supporting? Okay, let's go." We not like that we wouldn't do it, but we were like, "Oh no, this is going to go." No, yeah. Okay, you know,
it was good.
It was awesome. I think again, just that there was kind of this chance taken on different genres that we felt could meld, particularly because Jesse, you know, has that kind of hip hop like. Folky kind of punk,
yeah,
you know, style to him, and so you guys like folky, and then we're like, all right, rap, like let's just bring some new person
to
the community.
See how you build a bill of so many different genres and make it all flow so well, kind of like your guys' festival and stuff.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess just as long as there's a little bit of punk in everything, they can all go together.
You know, find one common ground.
Look, if there's a little bit of punk in everything, we're gonna be good. We're gonna have a good time.
Yeah, go
ahead. I was gonna say, do you find it hard, like when you are like vetting these bands and stuff, and you're trying to figure it out, like. You know, you know that you're looking for that it factor. You know, you're trying to find these bands that are gonna do well and that people are gonna enjoy and that the bands can get a shot and stuff. But do you ever find yourself like looking at a band and maybe they are a great band, but maybe it's not necessarily a genre you enjoy or something like that? And then you're like, eh.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Is it hard? Is it hard to like keep them separate? You know,
yeah, like, yeah, like yeah. A record label or something like that.
I gotta think, you know, being a music venue doesn't make you specific to any particular genre. You know, you have to expand just the realms of music, and you know, prop being very metal and very punk-ish, you know, with alt, you know, we've brought in more goth, more alternative, more indie. We have a country show coming up.
That's
so
awesome.
Yeah. I mean, we really, really want to push the limits here and try to get people music that they're going to enjoy. So, you know,
that's cool. Yeah, it's interesting you have a country show coming up.
Yeah, and I don't know if it's ever been done, but I really feel that there is a niche for like Western and country, and Mick, you know,
Rudy's
a part of that.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Like, okay, so we haven't asked it, but yeah, like I know Mick, you know, is huge as well, like fan of Western and Americana and like country, and so it's like I feel like there's a request for it. Just he hasn't really been heard. So maybe certain places,
it depends on the country too. Like a lot of it's going back to its roots.
Yeah.
I'm kind of just, you know, how all things, and once it evolves to a certain scale, people are like, we kind of lost our way.
Yeah.
So there's a huge rise, and myself in particular, like I always listen to, like, you know, you grew up on the blues, you grew up on roots, reggae and ska and stuff like that. You go back to the roots of country and you're like, this stuff's really good. It came from the blues, and it's really cool shit. And like now, there's a whole lot of indie artists and a whole scene behind it now.
Yeah,
and it's not being seen by CMT and all that stuff.
Yeah, 100%. Like there's an underground. There's an underground out there, and there's like the surface just needs to be scratched. And like again, I think that there are just a lot of musicians out there that are just they're trying to get their foot in the door. Yeah,
but
so
if it's
like,
a Jesus out being cover band that's playing, I'm not coming, Franco.
There's been that side to. You know, 10, 15 years ago, there were quite a lot of like kind of folk punk American guys, but really it was country.
It's been rooted from the same stuff.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, I was always into that. Do you remember that there's a guy, Luke Pennell, he was the original bass player in Killbillies, and he was a wonderful singer. And you know, it was, you know, called it sort of like acoustic punk or whatever, but you know, it was country.
Yeah, it was great.
And I what you're saying with the roots thing as well, I can totally relate to that. That's why I tried to do that new ska project as rootsy as possible.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
Because it just kind of that's all where the good stuff is. You know?
Absolutely.
The beginning.
Going back to basics.
The origins.
Well done.
For sure.
Well done.
So where do you see what do you see in the future for prop? Have you got any sort of ideas of how you want to
jazz, opera,
what you want to do? Now,
well, I mention
I fully appreciate I fully appreciate that, you know, there's a certain side of it that it is what it is, and it's exactly what it wants to be and needs to be.
Yep.
But do you have any sort of thoughts on ways it might change?
I just think aesthetically, like everything else, you know, you have to change. I mean, we all have to change our clothes every day, right? Prop. It's just itself, and it's been itself for like 10 years, the last 2 years, we've made, you know, slight adjustments to make it more comfortable. Yeah, the bathroom works. The bathroom is no longer CBGB-esque.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's functional and clean.
That's a big change.
So, you know, things like that. I think what's important for a venue is comfort and just making sure that people who otherwise wouldn't enter the door can come in and go, all right, it isn't as scary as I thought it was. Right? Oh, it's not It's not a strip joint. I thought this was a strip
100%,
joint,
100%,
right?
Dude. Yeah. I think that that's wise as well, because there's definitely places you go and you just don't know where to sit. You don't know, you know, you go to the bathroom because you're feeling a bit overwhelmed and that's gross. And then, then you end up kind of going outside or sitting in your car or something. But it prop doesn't feel like that, you know?
I hope not. I really hope not. I think that, you know, it does its best to just be as welcoming as possible and just welcome any walk of life. Really.
For sure. Yeah. Like when they started playing the show the other night, like I was out on the sidewalk at first and a bunch of people were leaving the older people's bar.
Yeah.
And they started, they heard them playing and they're like, oh man, we got to go see this.
The older person bought you me Rudy's?
Yeah. No problem. Then they walk over, run inside and they hang out for the whole set and they start liking this place. I'm like, what's this all about?
For
I'm
sure.
Like, oh, they got live music going on.
For sure. And I think that, yeah, it's helpful too to just like maintain a clean room so that way they're just
anybody walking down the street would love to go.
Like, all right, these are actually nice, wholesome young people.
Who would you say?
I was like, maybe take down more, you know, the propaganda eagles. When I first came there. I was like, yeah, he took my word.
It's true. I mean, I had it in the back of my mind too. I didn't really feel that propaganda was the logo. I don't think that it is. The name already exists on the facade.
But you should see what he put up on the wall now, though.
Right. Like,
there's a lot of good artwork out there.
Yeah, beautiful artwork.
I'm just saying.
Bjorn Davidson really, really came through. Just a plethora of
good artwork.
Good visual stimulation.
By Bjorn.
Yeah. Bjorn is hysterical, man.
He's
what
amazing.
A guy. He's a one
dude.
In a million, that guy.
Yeah.
In terms of people you've had play there, is there anyone that really, really sticks out in terms of like super exciting show or like an incredible get? Or
aside
like
from Killbillies, of course.
Yeah. You took the words out of my mouth. I was going to start there. You know, I think... We've had some good nationals in there so far. We were really thrilled to pull in the Jacuzzi Boys last summer because we're big fans.
And, you know,
we're in New York.
I was like, Franco, you got Jacuzzi Boys my birthday.
Yeah.
You listen to me.
Yeah. I even told them, hey, you can't start playing until Hunter gets here.
I had to hold the show because I was playing at Matthews. I'm like, Franco, don't let the show start until I get there.
Wow.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah,
he did it.
Told you. There's rewards to just working together. The Jacuzzi Boys, obviously Surfer Blood, who is West Palm Beach.
Yeah. You know,
and these were bands when I was in like New York in this like wasn't down here experience, and as they were coming up, and then they just kind of broke through the ceiling, and they were in New York and they're playing New York.
Sure.
Just venues that I like to go to. So just coming down here and making that happen. As of recently, just having Cheshire and the Co-Defendants there was pretty mega prop.
Yeah.
Like it was a huge milestone for us as like the new owners to have such a big act in there. And then there was just mega, and this is so awesome.
The energy was wild from that
wicked.
Show.
Yeah.
So what's the situation with Co-Defendants and Fat Mike and how he fits into the whole thing?
So it's a bit of a super... So Fat Records has Get Dead on that. So Sam from Get Dead is part of the Co-Defendants. And then there's Jesse, who is part of the scene around there and stuff too. And he was a good singer-songwriter on his own kind of thing, but he was known for his hip-hop and then is also like folky acoustic and stuff writing.
Yeah.
Fat Mike is... produced their whole album, got them together, mixed with some other like special hip hop artists, like DOC was on it.
Yeah,
right.
But it was all done on Fat Records, and they played the last Punk and Drublic and all that.
Okay,
so I got to see them in Orlando, and they were on the bill, and they played with Zeta on that bill too, backing them. So that was why we got all excited when we found out they were coming to town.
Yeah, for real.
So at first it started off as just like a little two piece like hip hop kind of thing to a backing track. Found out the band that played with them at Punk and Drublic was coming to town.
Yeah.
To do like a surprise
full
band thing. And then
that's
it
awesome.
Evolved from there. So then it just became a rager of a show. And I think like...
Definitely raging.
It was just like, it was one of the... I usually shoot pictures. And then I think I shot maybe like 15 great shots. And then I videoed the whole thing because I wanted to see every part of that show. It was just so
high energy.
Yeah, I get
it. I saw some of the footage on that.
But it all came together really well. A lot of people that came for them. And then a lot of people from here that didn't know them all kind of blended and like created one super group of the crowd. And
for sure, for sure. And I think the, you know, the positive response of it was just a lot of new people that had never been there, like, oh my God, this is fantastic. And then a lot of the locals were just like, this is prop. Like, that's a great,
I think that's a great compliment. Came up from Miami, some from up north, some from the west.
It's an interesting collection of people because it's kind of like punks, but it's also like hip hop kids too.
Yeah. You know, indie, it's like kids, metal kids, like, so it's great.
That whole like perfect blend of things, and like I think a lot of people saw prop for the first time this weekend, and you all held it down. Like bar was on point, like door was on point. There was no fights. It was everything was peaceful. Nobody got their drinks late. Like everything went smooth. And I think people were like,
"Yeah, I'll be back." It really worked out. So,
what's that band called where they have a completely insane break the fourth wall kind of live show, and they'll do things like get on people's shoulders and the drums go.
Oh, Degaju.
Yes.
Yeah, Degaju, that's it.
Degaju.
So how do you feel about those shows? How many have you had of those?
Yeah, they light a fire
inside
a prop.
Yeah, we've had them. We had them the first year. They light a fire on top of their van outside. Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen that they did it inside at Respectables. I was like, holy shit. I mean, really? That's ballsy. Like, like they didn't fly it in our place, but we had the fire extinguishers ready. They just went outside and did it. And it was a sight to see.
Find as a venue owner something like that is like fun and interesting or just like straight up liability?
Like insurance in my cup.
I mean, it starts with a conversation, right? It's like, how far is this going to go? And then until it feels like a liability, like how do we make this work without burning our place down?
So, sure. Yeah.
But I mean,
because I always wonder stuff like that because, you know, as someone who's really into music and enjoys a good time, it would seem really exciting. But then you're like, hang on, well, this is like my business. You know?
Yeah. There's reason to worry. But I mean, we've safely had fire artists inside part of like the kink shows that have twirled fire, spun fire, eights fire. And it seems to have been, I don't want to say safe, but it seemed it looked safe, right?
You're like,
don't drop that thing. Like, whatever you're trolling, don't drop that, you know? But it worked out. I think there's a limit of how far we could push things. And clearly, like, if it feels unsafe, then we're just not going to do it.
Yeah, for sure, man. Have you done much stuff like burlesque and stuff like that in it?
Yeah, we have. So we've recently brought back burlesque. We did a tiki night of, I want to say like weeks ago, probably the first week of February, and we had surfer Joe out of Italy who was passing through, and a good friend Noel just like, hey, surfer Joe's coming through. I think this would be a great opportunity.
Yeah.
Then we put this together. We pulled in, you know, artists from Vatican that were doing cool stuff on site, and we had burlesque. Yeah, we had burlesque. Yeah. There was some skin getting tagged. But yeah, we had burlesque that night, and we've had burlesque a few nights throughout the previous months. But it's something like that you have to warm the community up to. I don't think there's like a big market for it. People don't understand it. It's not it's not like strips, not like drag. It's just like its own art form. So like people kind of, I think we're trying to warm them up to that, and hopefully we can turn it into something that works for the artists themselves. It's for Pride weekend. We're going to have the unofficial Pride after party at our bar for 2 days. So yeah, that is going to be the 23rd and the 24th.
Nice.
Each day has a list of performers that range from rapping to dancing to singing. It's very entertaining, not very drag centric, but more live performance from the, you know, queer community. So it's going to be pretty rad. So
yeah, wicked.
Yeah, so we try to get behind every community. I hate to say try. We would love to work with every community that wants to, you know, hit us up. We've done hip hop showcases. We have another that's coming up next month. So again, we try to just be an open door and just let prop and serve the community.
Yeah, nice one.
Yeah, you know, awesome, man.
I think this is probably a good spot for us to listen to some ads. So we'll do that, and then we'll come back and just talk a little bit about what you got coming up at prop.
Cool. Yeah.
Nice one.
561 Music and 561 Music Festival is sponsored by Steinger Green and Finer. I'm going to tell you a little bit about them, and then I'm going to tell you how they're helping. So Steinger Green & Finer is the personal injury law firm you can trust to provide the elite representation you deserve. As your trusted personal injury attorneys, you can count on them to fight for your rights from start to finish. They have affordable services. Professional legal aid shouldn't cost a fortune. That's why, with their injury lawyers, you don't pay a penny unless they win your case. Their team of personal injury attorneys has the resources and experience needed to litigate with big insurance companies and deliver the results you want, achieving maximum financial compensation to cover the cost of your accident-related injuries and damages, from medical bills and prescription medication to car repairs and lost wages. Whatever type of personal injury case you bring them, their injury lawyer team can handle it. If you can't visit one of their injury lawyer locations, don't sweat it. Their 100% virtual communication options enable them to handle your case without requiring an in-person visit. Getting the justice you deserve has never been easier. To be real, we're incredibly thankful for them because without them, we wouldn't be able to put the festival on. They have sponsored the festival, and it means that we can pay the bands. It means we can afford to advertise the festival so people know it's happening. And really, it just means we can do it. So the fact that they've reached out to us and they're helping out in the community, it means a huge amount to us. And we just want to extend our thanks to them. And it doesn't hurt that they're a great business as well. They are very easy to find online. Just go to www.injurylawyers.com. It's as simple as that. Injurylawyers.com. So you'll be able to find them very easily. You won't be disappointed with their service. They're fantastic. Thank you so much, Steinger Green & Finer. You really have made a difference for us, and you make a difference for a lot of people every day. Backsaver LLC Therapy is located in West Palm Beach, Florida, providing chiropractic care, massage therapy, and physical therapy. They are 561 Music sponsors, and they're helping us put this festival on. We couldn't be more grateful for them. They've done it before, and it's just a huge help. So if you have anything going on with your back in general, and you need some chiropracting done. I don't know if that's how you say it. Chiropracting. If you need a chiropractor, you could do a lot worse than Backsaver. They're absolutely a fantastic company. I know Hector's had some work done by them, and they do a fantastic job. If you've been hurt in a slip and fall accident, Backsaver LLC will help you with your injuries. The worst thing about slip and fall accidents is you never see them coming. The slip and fall itself can be frightening, and the injury sustained can be detrimental. If you twist and fall in a bad or awkward position, your body will suffer the consequences. Injuries sustained in a slip and fall accident can be quite costly when it comes to paying medical professionals for treatments and pain relief. Backsaver LLC in West Palm Beach works to help patients recover quickly, physically, and also financially. It's one of those things that when you need it, you really need it. And if you don't think you need it, maybe you do. They're incredibly kind to sponsor the festival. Like I said before, we need all the help we can get putting this thing on. So thank you so much for sponsoring it and helping us with this podcast. We're just trying to bring local music to local people and build up the scene around here. And Backsaver's helping us do it. So thank you so much, guys. Give them a call today at 561-684-8774. That's 561-684-8774. It's Root. Now, Oasis Root Carver Bar is in Seagrape Square on Indian Town Road, and it is a carver bar. If you don't know anything about carver, it's a Polynesian root that you grind up and you mix with water, and it has been in Polynesia for potentially thousands of years. It's an old thing that they used for kind of ceremonial and also sort of ledger purposes. It's meant to be something where, you know, that brings people together. You will take a shell of carver and chink them together and say bula and have it together like that. It's meant to be something to bring people together. It's has a kind of an effect, which is, I guess, a kind of a slightly warming effect, and it just kind of makes you feel a nice. It's not particularly intoxicating. It's not like drinking alcohol. So the atmosphere in a carver bar is sort of like a cross between a regular bar and a coffee house. It's pretty chill in there. You get all sorts of different types of carver bars. Some of them are more like a club, you know, there's sort of like black light and EDM playing, and some of them are more like a cafe. This is one of the cafe type of ones. It's
It's super chill in there. If you're looking for somewhere to, I don't know, maybe go and do some work on your laptop or go and have a chat with friends, it's perfect for that kind of thing. There's a foosball table in there if that's your jam, or baby foot as they call it in France. And yeah, Jim, the owner, is a really cool guy, and he has very kindly sponsored our podcast. So thank you very, very much for that, Jim. They also do a poker night in there, all sorts of things going on at Oasis Root Carver Bar. 561 Music is sponsored by Live Music Community. It's where we film the podcast that you're listening to right now, and it's also where I work. Gavin, Hector's son, was a student here for a long time, and in many ways he's the musician he is today because of the teachers at Live Music Community. We taught him not only about his instrument, but also about being in a band, and his band, Unemployed Youth, accomplished a lot of goals, mostly band etiquette, how to work together, and all of the nitty-gritty that goes into being in a band on a day-to-day basis. The student signs up for lessons, learns their instrument, joins a real band, and decides the direction it goes in. And we can take people from very young age, you know, 6 or 7 years old, all the way up to 80. You know, there's no age limit here. We've run an adult program for people who want to be in a band as adults. But really, the main focus is on the kids and getting them playing together and in bands. We are also a studio, a live stream venue. We can record audio or video. The Killbillies live album, Warts and All, was recorded here. It was recorded during a live stream that we did during COVID. Justin had a great idea to record live streams during COVID. A ton of bands came in and it was a real success. Outside of that, we can record albums. We can help you with your EPK. And we have full audio-visual capabilities here. LMC is in Palm Beach Gardens on the northwest corner of Military Trail and North Lake Boulevard. And if you go to livemusiccommunity.com, you have all the information you'll need right there. All right, so we've just listened to an ad for Live Music Community. What we like to do after that is ask you guys, do you have any advice for young musicians? We kind of already covered it, but you know, if you've got anything else that would be some good advice for young or just aspiring, doesn't have to be young musicians, people, you know, starting out.
Yeah, as a venue owner and just somebody that's part of the audience, for me, I mean, it's probably more of a personal preference where I want to be drowned by music and not really have to put up with too much personality. But I get it. Sometimes that's like part of the act itself. But for aspiring, I really think the focus should be on the music and just focusing on being really tight and just getting from one song to the next and just like entertaining the crowd with your sound and really pulling them in and not really giving them much time to think about if they like it or not. I think they're going to love it by the time the show's over because there's just not enough moments to clap or even like talk amongst themselves. Yeah. Just Ramones it out. Just go one song to the next.
100%.
Just get to the end, and then everyone's just applauding, like, what the hell just happened?
Yeah. I see that with a lot of bands where they get up there and they're playing, and you know they play a 3.5 minute song, and then they take another 2 minutes between songs to get ready for the next song.
Pop disasters?
Yeah. I'm just saying.
Hunter,
I'm just saying.
Always have a set list.
Yeah.
We've never done one, but you should have one.
We never have a set
list. I agree with that. But when it just hits and hits and hits, it's a nice way to do it. And you're right, because the danger is with a new band that you might turn to people off just because they happen to not like you particularly as a human being.
So absolutely.
You keep that, you know, not even go into that.
Like hide that personality. You're famous, right? Like no one really wants to know. They just want to like listen to you be awesome. So just be awesome.
Yeah, totally. I think that's actually very good advice. And it's advice I try to follow myself. Every now and again, you know, something will happen. Someone's got to tune up or something.
Yep.
And at which point it is good to have something to say that 100%. Isn't stupid. You know,
so I get that.
That's something I've got a lot better at over the years. Is not awkward up there anymore. I mean, it might come off awkward, but I don't personally feel awkward because I've done it so many times.
Yeah, I mean, exactly what you're saying. It's just like kind of pretend just like you're talking to your friends or something when you're engaging a crowd. Like, don't let there be awkward silence. When people start to question or look at their phones and see what time it is, like, always keep them engaging. Always engage your crowd.
Sure.
Like, if you're taking a break between a song because you have to figure out what's going on or retuning or something like that, make sure somebody is talking. Selling merch in between your songs is a great one. Telling people, you know, to go tip or something like that.
That's yeah, funny. The guy who is very good at it is Mick. Mick is very good with
it. Is he now?
I just find him very charming. He just has thing. He managed to
for sure. No, I've learned a lot from him.
Ben's really good about like you know, talking between songs. If James is tuning up the banjo or something, he's you know he's talking and everything and he's getting everybody going. Or he's talking about the next song or background about something or selling merch or whatever he's doing. Every once in a blue moon, Ben will break a string and then Ben's over there trying to put the string on. And James and I are looking at each other like, now what?
I'm like, say something.
Yeah, he's
over
there.
Say something.
You gotta come up with something. How about like, them dolphins?
It sounds like he really needs to have like five banjos. Yeah.
This is not a cello.
Yeah, we gotta write you out a little script
that I can memorize. That's what it is, man.
Like a little medley you play in between, like a kind of like a soundtrack to a game show or something.
Oh, exactly. That's actually
it doesn't happen that often anymore, but it does happen occasionally. And you're right, that is awkward, isn't it? We have to fix it.
Awkward.
Yeah.
I don't think fast on my feet, man. Yeah, like you were talking about like being comfortable and not being awkward up there anymore. Where like I'm never feeling awkward until I make eye contact with somebody and then I'm like, look away. Like I feel awkward all of a sudden.
The way that I used to do it, I don't seem to worry about it anymore. But I kind of look at people without looking at people.
I was going to say.
I just kind of look through them almost.
Don't zone in on one. Don't focus. Keep it on a broad, like autofocus kind of thing, like to where you're seeing a room, not a person. As soon as you see a person, you see
a hard time. Like if I look in somebody's general direction and they look like they're smiling at us or something, I'm just like, oh God. I get weirded.
Hawkeye over here, just looking into your soul.
It's just weird. Yeah, it's just like laser vision, man. It just weirds me out.
That's funny.
I'll play with my eyes closed from now on.
So what
Ray Charles had it easy. Sorry.
Right? he wasn't actually blind. That was just his shtick.
He just didn't want to engage with the crowd.
Right.
We got the thing we're going to put at the beginning of the episode.
How do I always get it?
And there it is.
Oh, we went there.
So what have you got coming up at Prop? Is there anything that we should know about?
Yeah, we have an exciting week. This Thursday, we have The Underground, which is a electronic EDM partnership out of Miami that has put together a really nice event with everybody's favorite man, Dan Zaidi.
Cool.
Nice. So, he'll be DJing this Thursday, so that's going to be fantastic. Dan. And this Friday, it's going to be a big one. We have Billy Doom is turning 39.
Oh, so, my goodness. Yeah,
Billy Boy is going to have a big party there. We have Burn.
There's
Tiger
no way
Sunday.
He's only 4 years younger than me.
You are.
The bastard.
Yeah, really good set of a really good bill of local talent. So that's going to be pretty awesome. And then, Saturday, more amazing local. We have Root Television.
Oh, awesome.
Memory Well, Burning Glass, Father Figure. So a lot of cool things lined up this weekend. And
wicked.
I mean, if you want to know what's going on at Prop, just check our IG and keep up to date with our Facebook. All of our events are pretty much a month in advance. We did the best we can. We're about 3 months booked out right now, and it's kind of just been a really good, consistent trend for us to be that well ahead and have the calendar full. So I would say go Facebook first just for all future bookings, and then for the weeklies every Monday, our IG, we put out what's going on that week, what's going on the weekend.
And what's the best way, like if there's a band out there that's like absolutely dying to play a Prop, like is there one way that's better than another to contact you?
Should personal cell phone number.
right.
That has happened.
I mean, Facebook message or Instagram message, or is there an email?
Send my cell number. That has happened. People started passing out my cell number. I'm like, hey, I'm this person in this band. We really want to play. I'm like, all right, cool.
So
don't ever call this number again.
Instagram. We have a link there for booking.
Perfect.
That's the best way. Or you can just directly hit us up in IG. I mean, follow us first, because that's the thing, right? If we don't follow us, then it just goes to like this weird spammy little inbox. But if you follow us and send us a message, we respond within 24 hours. So I'd say that's probably the fastest way. Social's king right now. Emails as well. Bookings at propagandalakeworth.com. It's a long one. Or you can hit us up at properpunch@gmail.com.
Yeah, there's people it's funny. There's people I know really well these days, like, that I only have their Facebook and Instagram. Like, I don't feel like I need to have their phone number.
You don't anymore. Yeah. Like, you called me today on Messenger.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it works fine.
It works out. Yeah. Keeps away the stalkers.
No, absolutely.
Yeah.
What a week.
Their messages like 3 weeks later, like, I booked the flight to New York. You're coming, right?
Like, oh, shit. We should have a little bit, seeing as you're all here.
Well, transition.
Since we had Hunter on last, Nina's Yard Party, which is us three.
Yeah.
And Ricky.
And Ricky. and oh, yeah, that guy. A whole bunch of other people, but we're kind of like the core of it, are going to Brooklyn on April 16th and going to go and play a gig. We also have a gig on March 24th.
Oh, yeah.
As like a warm-up gig. So basically a new ska band, which is just born out of me and Ricky having a conversation where I said I wanted to make some old school ska, and then the next day sending him a bunch of songs that just came out of me just woof in like one day.
What you wish for.
Yeah, exactly. And now I'm super grateful to have some killer musicians on our side, and we're gonna go do it. Just start becoming a thing.
Yeah. It's gonna be the longest tour I've ever been on, man. Yeah, one show, 22 hours in New York.
Planes, trains, and automobiles in New York.
Yeah, man. And we get to see my old homies. Sonic Boom Sixer is gonna be so fun and exciting.
Yeah,
I'm
excited to meet
him. Yeah, I'm excited, man. Yeah. I'm excited. I've heard so much about them for like the last 3.5 years or whatever.
I know,
I'm
right?
I'm dying to meet them now.
Yeah, and they're so good too. They're gonna.
I'm stoked. It's my first time ever playing in New York, so I'm excited.
Really?
About
it. Nice. Yeah. Oh, wow. Hell yeah! Yeah. That nice. Is awesome. Yep. That makes me really happy. Yep.
Played all the way out to California, never up the East Coast. So.
Wow. Dude, that's awesome.
That's changed it all. That makes it. That's
is it
super
cold there
cool.
this time of year?
It's not cold there this time of year. Let's put it that way. Yeah. It could go either way in April. Actually, it could be blazing hot or it could be really
cold. Up for sure.
I'm a Florida reptilian. I'm not going to do well up there.
I'm fairly. It is pretty chilly this time of year. I'll go through you to make sure you wear some kind of jacket, maybe even a scarf.
Oh, I got a Marv, bro.
Yeah, I believe it.
Dude, it's a ska band.
There's no way you don't have a scarf.
Oh, I got a scarf.
It's a ska band, man. I'm wearing a three-piece suit.
There was a whole trending thing going on about my scarf a couple years ago.
That's right. I remember.
Yeah, Marv weather.
Yeah, yeah.
Man scarf.
I feel like the scarf the Marv is coming. We have on Friday, March 1st, we have Evergreen, which is like a neighborhood development.
Yeah, it's a published garden. It's a private community, and they have a big tiki bar by the pool, and they throw like these Friday party things. And so we're going to be the band there that night.
Yeah, we have fun at that. And you did all of the artwork in there.
I did. They have a big mural inside the tiki, and then they have another big mural on the outside of the tiki. And I've done both of those, which was kind of cool. So
yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. It's so cool. You go to these places and play them, and it's like, oh, Hector's like, I did that.
Oh, I did that.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's awesome. That's your plug.
I'm like a 5-year-old, though.
You,
I'm like,
you
I
lost
did that.
The club promoter. Now you're dealing with the art vendor that gets you into all these places.
I'm saying it's been working very well.
That's actually how that works. She called me up. I put a bid in for the mural. The first mural. I got the word of the mural. I went and did it. And then through conversation, you know, she was talking about bands. And I'm like, oh, I'm in a band. And then I said, Killbillies. She's like, oh, I've heard of Killbillies. And the next thing I know, we were getting booked. So.
Yeah, no, okay.
He's always got an in.
Hector has done wonders for business. I'll tell you what. It's great having him around. So on Saturday, March 2nd, we're playing Square Grouper from 3 to 6. And then we're playing Carson's Tavern from 9 to midnight. Carson's Tavern is Stuart.
It's always crazy there, man. Yeah. So I'm looking forward to it. I missed the last one because I was out of town. So I'm looking forward to going.
There's something in the water.
It's something, man. I don't know what it is. People are nuts there, but like in a fun way.
Totally.
And I was just telling somebody the other day because we had a really fun show at O'Shea's last Friday.
Yeah.
And so I was telling somebody, they were asking me how the show went. And I said, you know, there's shows where we play and we're the entertainment and that's that. And we enjoy it. But there are shows where we're the entertainment, but we're also being entertained by just a fun, crazy crowd. And I love those shows.
Those are the best shows.
I had two of those on Saturday.
It's really the reciprocation.
Well, I mean, one was being the entertained and the other one's being entertained, man. So,
oh, yeah. Sick.
Always seeing fun both sides of it.
That's awesome. So you're right. That energy exchange is really what, I think that's really why I do it.
Yes.
Like when that happens, you know, when you get that moment where you just, the energy's going back and forth, you know, that's 100%
right. Well, the first gig they tell you to turn down and the second gig they tell you to turn up. So
Balances out.
Totally, man. So that's that. That's what we got coming up. And do you want to have a little bit of a chat about, it's kind of become traditional that it's your job to talk about the festival, so
let's get on there. We'll do it. 561 Music Festival. If you haven't heard about it yet, this is the third one, and you probably live under a rock because everybody knows about 561 Music Festival. I'm just saying.
Yeah,
and we may have to talk to Prob about you know,
official after party,
official after party or something.
Yeah. We're down.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll talk. You heard it here first, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. So 20 bands, $10. I mean, it doesn't get any freaking cheaper than that, man. 20 bands, $10, two stages. Of course, Matthews has their scratch kitchen, so there's plenty of food available.
Nice.
They have all their beers on tap and stuff. You can get a ticket shirt combo. So you can, you know, you can basically get a, for $25, you can get a ticket and a shirt as opposed to paying the $10 for the ticket at the door and then buying a shirt for $25. So you'll basically get a free ticket if you buy a shirt up front. It's Saturday, March 30th, starts at 12 noon, ends at about 11 p.m.-ish, roughly, sometimes goes a little later. 561musicfest.com is your tickets. And the lineup, Lab Scam, Young Fiction, Killbillies, 33 Lions, The Little Things Duo, Suicide Bombers, At the Starlight, Exigen Band, Mad Mellow Music, Bear Maze, although Bear Maze is a great name too. Yeah. Bear Maze, Killed by Florida, Butch and the Fat Dubes, Bitter Blue Jays, The Zoo Peculiar, Mount Sinai, Andy Styron, Smokebosh Militia, Billy Doom is Dead, Brayton, and Ambush. It's just a killer lineup. We've had two amazing festivals, and then this one is like hands down probably the best one now.
I can't wait.
Nice.
Number three.
And of course, you know, got to thank all of our sponsors that make this happen for us, which is Oasis Root and Kava, Live Music Community, Galliano Family Salon, Rain Cat Recording Studios, The Shirt Series, Backsavers Chiropractic, Law Offices of Steinger Green and Finer, Matthews Brewing, of course, for hosting, and Pure Honey Magazine.
Yeah, man. Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for coming on, man.
Definitely. It's been a pleasure.
Been an absolute pleasure, and nice to look under the hood a little bit and see how Prop's getting on. So to hear from the horse's mouth.
Sounds dirty.
You want to join his band?
It does sound dirty, doesn't it?
All right. See you later.
See you later.